Welcome to Trail Mix, where Mary and Jody sort through life's fruits, sweets, and nuts. Mary Tomlinson and Jody Dreyer, who met when their paths crossed as Disney executives, are now advisors, speakers, and authors, and I'm excited to say podcasters. They can't wait to share life stories and experiences, insightful and practical takeaways, encouragement, and you can always count on full-out honesty and lots of laughs along the way. Ready for some Trail Mix? Let's mix it up with Mary and Jody.
Okay, Mary, I would sing, but you know you're the singer and I'm not.
Right, July 4th.
I know. America Fireworks. The beautiful.
Yes, it just, yes.
The minute I say those words, it reminds me of all the patriotic songs that we've grown up on. And especially one of my faves is This Land Is Your Land.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that conjures up in your head America the Beautiful, because it is from whatever part of the country,
right.
There's just beautiful things to think about, whether it's food or nature or, you know, God's creation in that part of the world. And
Yeah. So
we just wanted to celebrate all things beautiful.
Absolutely. And, you know, when I started thinking about this, you know, with all its problems, and we certainly have lots of problems, I still think we are incredibly blessed to live in this country. Again, even with the craziness of our democracy, when you think of an autocratic ruling by the smallest possible minority of the population, or an anarchy where there are no rules, I am still so grateful that we are in this country. And I think it's important to think about what's beautiful and wonderful about this country, because it is so easy for all of us to start to think about all the things that are wrong and whether or not anybody thinks it was better at some point in the past. It just is still an incredible country. And I think we have to remember kind of the from sea to shining sea, all the beauty of it. And, you know, we really are fortunate to live here. I think about, you know, so I have to think about America and I think, okay, so you have the vibrancy of New York City. You have the simplicity of small rural towns. You have the beauty of the national parks. You have the smells and sounds of the beach. You know, the unique cultures. I started thinking about cities, and you think about New Orleans and Dallas and Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Denver and Chicago and Memphis and Charleston and Orlando, even Washington, D.C. I mean, there's just when we start to step back and think about this country. It really is remarkable, and I think it's just important to focus on the positive.
Well, that and, you know, again, without getting into the whole immigration and different things going on, so many outside of America are clamoring to get in, and I was looking up, and I just thought, I wonder if folks outside of the U.S., what they're thinking about. And the top five, facts or descriptions of America that when asked, people, and I think this is both inside and outside, but specifically it addressed folks outside of America, what they talk about. And the first is the many natural wonders, which you mentioned. Mm-hmm. When you think about it, you know, the Grand Canyon, the Smoky Mountains, Yellowstone, just even thinking of the national parks. But so it's the natural wonders and the beauty, the sheer beauty of it. And then this one was interesting, that people talk about the water. And I didn't know this, but we have the fourth longest river system in the world.
Who knew?
Who knew? But when you think about it and you think about different places, think about all the rivers and, you know, the Mississippi River, which is very different, you know, than a river, the Snake River, when you're out, you know, more west. And so just even water, and you mentioned, you know, East Coast, West Coast, and the beaches and how different they are, you know, the rocky beaches of the Pacific. And then when you get in the Atlantic, you know, the beach and the terrain is so different in those areas. And then the third thing that people talk about is the largest economy in the world. And obviously now it's debated about China, but interesting that people outside looking in describe our economy that way. And then the fourth one, and this one again, I'm sure people will be screaming, "Are you sure?" and debate, but this is what it says, is the center of culture and entertainment. And when you think about it, just the musical artists and the, you know, the movies and all the content that's created here that is really the center and the hub, a lot of it starts here and then works its way around the world, which is interesting. And then the last was just technological innovation and how many things were really, you know, started here and then again spread around the world. So we do have so much, you know, from beauty to technology to that I think sometimes we do get really into the minutiae or some issue that we fixate on that makes us lose sight of the privilege, really, to be here.
Yeah, I found a funny list from theculturetrip.com on things only found in America. All right. I thought these were funny.
First of all,
the obsession with college sports. I thought that was interesting. Drug advertisements. It says the only other country in the world that advertises drugs as much as we do is New Zealand. And you know, you always crack up on these drug advertisements because it's like, what are they even talking about half the time when I'm looking at them? Things only found in America. Excessive patriotism. They say the national anthem before sporting events, the Pledge of Allegiance in schools, and flags on homes. I guess nobody else does that. I thought that was interesting. Same day online delivery. Okay, so we are pretty impatient as a country. This was funny. Only in America, spray cheese. Okay, crazy
much
people.
To the chagrin of definitely Europeans.
Oh my gosh. And then you find the spray cheese in 24-hour stores. I guess that is not widely done outside our country. White bread. Speaking of Europeans, where they must go, oh my gosh, how can you even eat that stuff? Treating pets as children. I thought that was hysterical. You know, I'm on Facebook still, and I swear there are as many posts about pets as there are about people. And I think
I'm convinced people not care more about their pets than people, but it's almost like it's easier because they don't talk back. They don't. So they're more focused on their pets than people. It's like too hard to deal with people. So I'll just focus on my pets.
I saw a post this today showing, and I don't know where this was. It was a little bus with dogs in all of the seats, and they were taking the dogs to like a doggy care so they didn't have to be at home by themselves all day. So there's an idea for you. Only in America. Our huge portions of food and therefore the use of doggy bags. I guess nobody else does that. 169 million unused vacation days. That's a sad statistic.
Is sad.
We are workaholics in this country.
We'll have to go back to the trail mix that we talked about, self-care.
Number
one
days.
Is take some vacation. And people think vacation, you have to plan something and go somewhere crazy. And what I found in Europe, I didn't notice it as much in Asia because they're a work culture too. But in all throughout Europe, and not everything is a huge vacation.
Just time to sit in your
garden and have tea, and you take a day to do that. Or, you know, bank holidays. We used to laugh and say every day was a bank holiday for some reason.
Yes.
You know.
Go take it. Oh, man. Okay, so here's three more. Only in America can you get pizza delivered to your house faster than an ambulance.
Well, sad. That is sad. That one's really
true.
Sad.
And only in America do we leave cars worth thousands of dollars in the driveway and put our useless junk in the garage. That's pretty funny. And then the last one, only in America do people order double cheeseburger, large fries, and a Diet Coke. So, you know, we've got to watch our calories, you know. So, very funny.
There was that whole overview that was done, and they called it Supersize America or something. And it was like the land of bigger, you know, everything.
Yes, yeah.
Rather, you know, we always think, obviously, about food, but everything. I mean,
yes.
It was like, you know, bigger cars. I mean, you go over other places and because parking
That's
and there's
right.
so many cars on the
That's
road,
right.
they want as small of cars as they can. And oftentimes, you know, we'll look for other alternatives because parking is an issue. You know, the streets are so crowded. So they'd rather bike someplace if they can or, you know, look for alternative modes of transportation.
Yeah. No, a bigger, so yes, bigger everything is including bigger people. And I've experienced that, so I'm trying to go the other way. But yes, all these supersized meals and cars and yes, we kind of believe bigger is better here and you can see it.
Yeah. Well, one of the ways that I love to think about our country and always helps me have new thoughts and new eyes on the situation is through the eyes of children. I think when you see the children and the wonder, and especially if you are out in nature or you're at one of the national parks or you're, you know, younger folks that are seeing, let's say, Yosemite for the first time and the giant redwoods, and it just gives you this awe and wonder and it's so inspiring to see, you know, you can be in one part of the country and it's the plains and all the wonderful things that are happening, the grasses and the winds that go through the plains, but then all of a sudden the mountains that are just, you know, there aren't words to describe it. And I think children sometimes have this childlike wonder that they take it all in a different way than we get a little jaded and you're just so used to it that we don't appreciate it.
Right. So I have some history facts for you here that Independence Day didn't happen on July 4th. July 2nd was the day that Congress voted to free us from British rule. However, the 4th of July is when John Hancock wrote the first signature on the Declaration of Independence in order to spread the word of the vote. 56 men signed the document that announced independence from British rule. So that's how we got to July 4th. I didn't know that.
I didn't either. It's July 4th sounds right more than July 2nd. Isn't that funny?
Yes. We just kind of lived with
You're used to it.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So, and then we've got the tallest president. Do you remember who that is? You probably guess. Abraham Lincoln, 6'4". He is also in the Wrestling Hall of Fame. Now, I don't think I would ever have guessed that. I would have lost that on a trivia question.
I would have completely lost that. I would have gone with a Teddy Roosevelt or some outdoorsman that you thought would... Because didn't they always have a story where he wrestled a bear or something? I feel like I've heard that. Maybe I made it up.
And then the smallest was James Madison, 5'4" and less than 100 pounds. So, goodness, I'm like 5'1" and I weigh more than 100 pounds. So this was one small dude.
But even the diversity in our presidents is when you think of the parts of the country that they come from and, and their backgrounds. That's so interesting. When we lived in California, when people would come to visit, we would go to the Nixon Library and the Reagan Library because you would see just their, you know, Nixon, it's the house that he was born into and, you know, the Quaker, very limited furniture, you know, it's just a small house, and he came from such humble beginnings and worked his way. And then you see even the Reagan Library set up on the on overlooking the mountains. And, you know, it's just it's such a different feel for it. And it shows you kind of the juxtaposition of those two presidents.
Yeah. I mean, these days we could get into the variety of our presidents, but we won't. That could be a very long discussion.
There you go.
I found out that Uncle Sam was a real dude. His name was Samuel Wilson. He was a meat packer in Troy, New York, who fought in the American Revolution and later became the official meat inspector for the Northern Army of the War of 1812. Wilson was given the nickname Uncle Sam for his good nature. How about that? A meat packer from Troy, New York. That, see, now that's Americana.
There you go. Well, I knew because we had to do a study of all the people that were real, but then had become legend through there. And Uncle Sam was one of them. Betsy Ross was one. Johnny Appleseed. And I thought it was so interesting because you do wonder, is there a real person? And it's, you know, yes, and it starts with something, but then we've taken the ball and run with it, and they've become these iconic legends that through history, we just keep adding more and more to the story, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I thought this was interesting. Alaska is the largest state in the United States and was sold to the U.S. from Russia for a total of $7.2 million, which amounts to about 2 cents per acre.
Wow, that's a pretty
good deal.
They must have been doing it on the number of residents or something.
2 cents an acre. What a deal. And I thought you would like this for a Kentucky girl. In Kentucky, the number of bourbon barrels outnumbers the state's population by more than 2 million. Kentucky is the birthplace of the drink and crafts 95% of the world's bourbon supply. I'm not sure I knew that either. See,
although the Jack Daniel's distillery is in Tennessee.
Okay.
So you're in the right part of the country.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yes. Spread
pretty
across.
Interesting stuff. Here's another one. The Library of Congress has hundreds of miles of bookshelves. 833 miles of bookshelves consisting of more than 39 million books. And this was interesting. The library receives some 15,000 items each working day. Holy cow. There you go. Our Library
that
of Congress.
That is crazy. Now, I'm addicted. I know you'll laugh at this, of course, because it all roads lead back to food. But I don't know if you watch the History Channel much, but they are doing a series called The Foods That Made America or That Built America.
Okay.
I'm telling you, Mary, it is fascinating.
So what are some of the foods?
Well, okay. So there's one, and again, I won't get the titles quite right, but essentially it's about popcorn. Well, growing up in the Midwest and the roots of, you know, Indiana, and it's this history of popcorn as we know it. But Orville Redenbacher, who from Indiana went to Purdue, obviously grew up, you know, he was one of our family, you know, heroes. And we would hear about Orville Redenbacher and my affinity for popcorn. But this talked about how he was fascinated from a very early age with growing the right corn, you know, cultivating it at the right time to out of 100 kernels to get the right percentage that would pop over 90. He tried to get over 95 that would out of every 100 would pop. And there's different kinds. Kernels pop in two ways and there's different kinds of corn. So that was fascinating. But really what almost led to the, you know, demise of the Orville Redenbacher part of the popcorn was when Mike, Jiffy Pop. Remember when there were those things that you could do on a stove?
Of course.
Because people didn't want to take the time to pop it. But then when that started, and then they talked about when microwave popcorn, but it just went through the history. Fascinating. But it's talks about how pasta came to America and an Italian immigrant brought, but he started off not focusing on Italian food because people weren't comfortable with it and they didn't have it. So he opened a restaurant that didn't even have Italian food.
Oh, funny.
And then he thought, you know, why am I not focused on, and then he had to change his name when they were doing, anyway, it's just, if you get a chance on the History Channel, you must watch these. They're riveting.
The foods of our
country. It's like, who knew? And the foods that are really a person, like Chef Boyardee, mm-hmm. a person, mm-hmm. an actual, you know, that was the Italian that brought a lot of the packaged pasta to, mm-hmm. you know, fruition. But anyway, that is, when you think of history, you don't even think about those kinds of things, mm-hmm. you know, and we talked about fast food, you know, the origins of fast food, and they're not all what you think.
Right.
So anyway, every time now I drive by someplace, you know, I'll think, like Dunkin' Donuts. Okay, how did that happen? Got started.
That's and, right. Oh my gosh.
You know, the donut one was super interesting. And, you know, some of them talk about, they'll call them the wars when there were two people, you know, developing something at the same time. And with donuts, it was an inexpensive at a time where people were looking for ways, you know, they talked, another one was how the boxed food, when, you know, people didn't have as much money, they wanted to come up with ways to make food go further. So you would have meat, but then what could you put with it? And hamburger helper and things like that.
Goodness.
One of my favorite foods.
Oh, gosh.
John can't stand him. He's always like, it looks like dog food. I'm like, but it's so good.
It's definitely a comfort food. I think there's some true comfort foods here in America. So I've got a couple quotes. And interesting, they really focus on freedom. And I do think that is one of our, obviously, our core values in this country. And it causes a lot of kind of chaos and diversion, because what's free, you know, what somebody wants to be free from, speech or lifestyle or, you know, whatever people want. It's, we believe in freedom. So Ronald Reagan said, freedom is one of the deepest and noblest aspirations of the human spirit. And I would think that that is, again, just so core. And then one from Walt Disney, which I thought was really interesting. He said, tomorrow will be better as long as America keeps alive the ideals of freedom and a better life. So it's just so foundational to who we are as a country. So I guess as we celebrate July 4th this year, I think it's just so important that in the midst of, no, we're not perfect, clearly, and there are lots of things that, you know, all of us would like to be, have better, and bottom line, to be more kind to one another in the midst of all of the diversity that we have of opinions and everything else. I still think it's a beautiful country that we are very blessed to live in. Any closing thoughts, my friend?
Well, one, the Parents Magazine was talking about how to teach kids about America, and I thought this was just a great way to break it down. And it says, to teach kids about America, teach them how they fit into their family.
Mm-hmm.
Then teach them how their family fits into the community.
Mm-hmm.
Then teach them how their community fits into the bigger surrounding area. Mm-hmm. And then how that area fits into the country.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about it, that is the beauty of America.
Right.
You know, how we as individuals, and then keep getting bigger and bigger. And then
that's
how
right.
do we as individuals, you know, celebrate and also add value to America, not just
right.
take from America, but
right.
we too can add value.
That's right.
So
we need to celebrate our country for all its beauty in the midst of the bumps. And as you talked about, the foods of America, obviously, trail mix has to be in there somewhere. So sing and put on your patriotic songs, wave your flag, enjoy your trail mix, and don't forget the chocolate.
Or the popcorn. You can find all of our Trail Mix episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. We would love you to rate and give us a review.
And follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Look for Trail Mix Pod with a picture of Trail Mix. To learn more about us, check out our new website, trailmixpod.com.
It was great to have you. Thanks for listening to Trail Mix, sorting through life's fruits, sweets, and nuts. Keep mixing it up. And remember, life is nuts. So don't forget the chocolate
or the popcorn.